so in lieu of that, I did some research on love online. And so I found one website that gave myth versus fact. So one myth they gave was you have one soulmate and meeting that one is the key to finding love. So the fact is, research shows that love and marriage take hard work, including commitment, positive communication, and the ability to resolve fights. And the best relationships are ones where you work on yourself and choose someone, a good friend with chemistry and with the same values, who's willing to grow with you. And these are the keys to a happy marriage. So, friends, you'd want to be married at Harvard. And there's one more. It says, a myth. Living with a boyfriend or girlfriend gives you a better sense of who your partner is and will make you stronger for marriage down the road. We hear that all the time on our campuses. But the fact is that couples who have not lived together before marriage have healthier and more successful marriages. They also have less conflict, less abuse, and less likely to get divorced than couples who lived together before marriage. However, a more recent study shows that couples who have committed to be married and live together do have a 28% decreased risk of getting divorced. So those are just some facts. Also, I wanted to make known that you guys have response cards. Designed by Sparkle. And if you don't feel comfortable putting your phone number, you can put your email. We're not going to stalk you, but we want to get a good sense of who came today and what you're interested in and how we can contact you. And so at this time, I'm going to have Sparkle, Eileen, and Nikki come up, and they're going to be sharing their testimonies. And the reason that we called them love stories on the program was because these are their love stories of finding God, to finding the one true love that they'll have in their life. So I'm going to ask these girls to come up, and you guys can line up here. And Sparkle was a graphic design student at UIC, and she now works for the Opera and another design firm. And Nikki is one of our campus interns on campus, and she works UIC and also downtown. And Eileen is a nursing student at the Chamberlain College of Nursing. So she'll be graduating this May, and she'll be a nurse. So.
Wow.
Two new girls.
All right, so I'm going to talk about my love story, how I met God. But before I start with that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. So impatient, unkind, envious, rude, distrustful, easily angered, self-seeking. So this is what I knew love to be before I met my one true love. Before I met him, I grew up hearing stories about him, even watched movies about him. And even would hear others talk about him and how great he was, how they knew him. And because of this, I questioned how great he was. I didn't know him. So he was always at a distance to me. I wanted to know him, but in the pride of my heart, my mouth spoke, not right now, when I get older, you know, when I'm on my own, then I'll know him. Like, then I'll want to seek him, then I'll meet him. Because I didn't trust that this one true love that others spoke of could be my true love. Because, like I told you earlier, my definition and my idea of love was already defined. So I grew up in a Christian household, and my Christian household consisted of abuse, my dad abusing my mom abusing us, broken promises that my dad would make to us. We went to church off and on, but nothing real consistent. We even had a Bible always out on the table, open, but never read it. So that was a Christian household. Fast forwarding to my life, I began to seek the attention of men and always be in a dating relationship. I was in a dating relationship for 4 years with a guy who didn't trust me, who was really controlling. And what I thought was, because he loves me, you know, he wants to control me. But he had every reason not to trust me. So knowing this, I began to lose sight of the true meaning of trust. It was so unpromising because I myself couldn't be trusted, and therefore I couldn't trust that God had something better planned for my life. So I had a lot of worldly success, like everything together, or so I thought, you know, in college, had a job. Throughout the week, I would work on projects, you know, just seek my own selfish desires and everything else. On the weekends, go to clubs, drink, hang out with my friends. You know, my boyfriend took care of me, would seek, you know, my own sexual desires, thought that that was being fulfilled, so I wasn't lonely, so I believed that was sex. You know, I had everything, or so I thought. But when I think about my life before I knew God, I think of the scripture. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. So that's Psalm 10:4. And so I didn't see my need for God because all my needs were being temporarily satisfied. And all my time was devoted to seeking how to please my sinful nature. During this time, I saw nothing wrong with the way I was living my life. My mom, not even my boyfriend, knew the truth about me, didn't know who I was deep down, that I was lying to keep up a good image. I would seek up after other men, and being unfaithful to prove myself untrustworthy to him. So deep down in my heart, like, I knew that I was a horrible person, but I didn't see myself as sinful. And sinful to me were like murderers, thieves, rapists, people who even did what I did, but magnified 10 times. Like, as long as I'm not on their level, like, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but as long as I'm not doing that, you know, extremely, then I'm not wrong. But moments in my life where my true love would seek after me, for example, I was at a gathering with my ex-boyfriend and his family, and his mom turned to me and she said, "Are you saved?" And I said, "Why is she asking me that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm saved." And then I, like, turned my head, and she said, "You are? Are you saved?" She asked me twice. And so I started laughing. I was like, you know, I'm like, yeah. And so when I got home later that night, I'm like, why did she ask me that? And why did she ask me that twice? And why did I say, yeah, like, you know, what does that even mean, being saved?
Wow.
So, and then another occasion, I met a little girl on the street one day. I was walking down the street, and she was, like, passing out posters, you know, trying to get money to give out posters. And she says, "Excuse me." I think she was, like, 10 years old. She was like, "Excuse me, if you died today, would you go to heaven or hell?"
Wow.
And I said, "I'd go to heaven." And I was with another one of my friends, and my friend was like, "I would hope I would go to heaven." And I was thinking, "Girl, what are you talking about?" Like, just say heaven. And then later. No, but later on, but seriously though, later on, I began to question myself again, and I was thinking, wow, like, why did I so confidently believe and say that I was going to heaven so quickly? You know, I don't even know what one has to do to go to heaven. You know, I didn't even know who God was. And obviously, you have to do something different that would permit you that privilege of going to heaven. Otherwise, you know, there wouldn't be a hell. So these are thoughts that I had. Then I began to think, I believe God exists, but I also believe that Satan exists. And if my belief was enough to go to heaven, then my guaranteed chances of going to hell were just as equal.
Wow.
So I saw where I was truly at.
Wow.
But how I met God, I was reached out to several times, studied the Bible. You know, questions began to arise, like, how do I even know this is truth? You know, what these people are telling me, what I'm reading in the Bible. You know, distrusting of the scriptures that they would give me, that they could give me a relationship with God, you know. So then I went back to living how I was, with no standard of what it meant to be, to live a life that included God. Because I excluded his word, and his presence was nowhere to be found in my life because I didn't trust in the word of God. But the turning point in my life was, you know, everything was just so bad. You know, I hated the woman that I was becoming. I was becoming even more envious, even more distrusting, you know. And, but I wanted something better, you know, for my life. I wanted something better than what I had built to be a good way to live. And I knew that I needed God, and I even prayed to find him. And so my road to salvation, I prayed while I was walking home one night, you know, that God would lead me to people. I remember this prayer. I said, please lead me to seek you, to find you, because I don't even know where to begin,
yeah.
You know.
Yep.
And he truly did that for me. So I got a phone call from one of my friends, and she invited me out to her church. And so I went to her church, and after going there, I just remember feeling like, oh, my gosh, this is hopeless. You know, I'm not feeling like I'm going to change, you know. And then maybe like a week later, I received another call from Brittany. She invited me out to International Day. It was like a church service, breakfast or lunch event. And so I went to that, loved it. You know, I felt God's love, God's presence, started studying the Bible again. And my change of attitude can be described in Psalm 116:10-11. It says, I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay, I said, all men are liars. So I believed the word of God because I saw that it was true. I said, I'm greatly afflicted because I saw where I was really at, according to the scriptures. And then I said, all men are liars because people were telling me, you can live how you want. You're a good girl. You can just keep doing what you're doing. You're successful. Just keep doing what you're doing, you know. But that's a lie because I didn't have God. So I was baptized October 18, 2009. And that's when I met my one true love, Jesus Christ. And I love the scripture. It's my favorite scripture. It says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And that's Psalm 116:1-2. So I repay the Lord by lifting up the cup of salvation, because this cup is true, it's trustworthy, and it offers so much more than anything this world has to offer. It gave me a true definition of what trust is and what love is.
Okay, hi, I'm Eileen. I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to share with you how I fell in love with God. A scripture that describes what my life was before I was a Christian is 2 Timothy 3:1-5. I'm not going to read it, but I'll just paraphrase. It talks about the sin that we commit, and in verse 5 it says, it talks about having a form of godliness but denying its power. All my life I grew up going to church, I sat in a pew, took communion, sang the songs, but there was never a connection. It was just something we did every Sunday, very routine. And as I got older, I became very involved in my church. In my heart, I thought that the more involved I was, the more righteous I was, the more saved I was, and the more real it was. If I was doing stuff, it meant that God was real somehow in my life. But sadly, the only thing that was made real to me at church was sin and hypocrisy. At church activities, we would talk about everything except God's influence in our lives. At church, I learned about all kinds of impurity from older influences I had in the church. I learned how to make alcoholic drinks from my youth leader, smoke my first cigarette with a friend from church. It was all a form of godliness, but there was no power in my life or anyone else's around me. So I started to doubt if I was really right with God. You know, would I be living like that? And it made me really sad. Like, it made me really afraid. I would spend nights crying, having panic attacks, laying in my bed thinking, will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? And I would start to cry. I shared a room with my sister who lived with us, and she was a Christian. And every time I'd start to cry or get anxious, she would just tell me to pray, read my Bible, you know, find comfort in God. And it really forced me to turn and examine my life, to turn to God and examine my life. I saw that I was insecure, hypocritical, and really just unhappy. So I felt like I needed to change. Started going to church with my sister. It was a church very similar to this one. And every time I went, I loved it. I loved the people. They were happy. They gave me big hugs. They knew my name. It was very encouraging. It was so different than what I was used to. But I knew the drill. I knew that every time I went, that they would ask me to study the Bible. They'd ask me to hang out. And I was so prideful. I just rejected it. I would cancel on them. I would say, oh, yeah, sure. But then I would avoid their phone calls. It was bad. But God was working in me all that time. I knew I was searching for the real God, not the hypocritical, powerless, unmerciful religion I had known up to that point. So I gave in and I studied the Bible. But then when the church sat down with me and they taught me what it really meant to love God, what it truly meant to seek Him with my whole heart. I got baptized my senior year of high school. It was incredible. I was excited to be purified, to be right with God, and to worship Him in sincerity and truth. But in Matthew 13, it describes a seed that was planted and sprung up quickly, but because it didn't have a deep root, it fell away when trouble came. In the same way, I started to slip. I started being tempted with things that I'd never encountered before, and I didn't have deep convictions about. I gave in to my feelings, I stopped confessing my sin, and I slowly drifted away. My heart became hard and insensitive to the Word of God, and so I just did whatever I wanted. I was living life seemingly happy, but my heart was sinking deeper and deeper, and I knew that what I was doing was in direct opposition to God's love. My life was consumed with self. I was drowning in impurity, drug abuse, manipulation, and irresponsibility. I even failed my first semester of college. I was put on academic probation. I thought, I gotta shape up. I put myself in a lot of dangerous situations. I would party all the time, and one night at a party, I was raped by a guy that I thought I could trust. But because of my actions, you know, that's what led me there. You know, I was putting myself in all these bad situations. I remember I would wait until my roommate would fall asleep. I lived in the dorm. And in the middle of the night, I would sneak out. I would grab a roll of toilet paper, throw on a sweatshirt, and walk around campus weeping because I was so hurt. I was so afraid, and I was desperate to return to God. But I was so terrified that I had gone too far. I had fallen too far, and He would never take me back. I kept trying to change on my own with no success. I was constantly on the verge of tears because I was so unhappy with my life. I was hurt and angry. Eventually, I couldn't take it anymore. I was falling apart. One night, I had dinner with a couple that led the church back in Oregon, and I was very close to them, and my heart just told me, I need to confess my sin. I need to get it out. And I thought for sure that once I did, they would see just how disgusting I was. They'd kick me out of the church. But by the end of the night, I ended up spilling everything, my deceit, my impurity, everything in my life. Amen. And the rebuke I expected never came. Amen. Instead, they opened the scriptures to show me what God's love really means.
Amen.
God is not looking for an opportunity to punish us.
Right.
He wants us to be happy.
Wow. Yeah.
He doesn't want us to separate ourselves, even for 1 minute from Him, which is what our sin does.
Yeah.
He sacrificed so much just to be with us in the first place. And He doesn't want anything to come between that. Isaiah 43 is the scripture, one of the scriptures they read to me that night.
Amen.
And in verse 1 through 4 it says, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight. And because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. God proved this scripture to be true in my life. He was there for me even in my lowest point, when I was unfaithful to Him. Through all my sins and shortcomings, He still found a way to be with me and to bring me back to Him. And that's what love is. All God wants is a repentant heart that wants to love Him back.
That was so moving. It was very moving. By me sharing. When I think of my testimony, I think of the story of Hosea's wife. And I think of how I was like, you know, a prostitute, an adulterer, looking for love in the wrong places.
Yeah.
And I think of Matthew 15, verses 8 to 9. I'm not sure most of you are aware of this scripture. But I read the Message version last night, and it really convicted me. It says, these people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it.
Wow.
They act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for whatever suits their fancy.
Wow.
And for 20 years, I lived a life that used God as a cover for whatever suited my fancy.
Mm-hmm.
It was academic. It was being religious. It was people pleasing. What else? Having great friends. I was looking for God. I was using God to cover up something that I wasn't really seeking for.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I would develop this fantasy that if I didn't show to people that I love worshiping God, I wouldn't have a place in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up wanting to please people, getting accepted by them, but using God as a cover, sounding religious, you know, spiritual. Personally, the process took a long time to develop. I was seeking for people to accept me and like me, and because of this, I would join to different ministries in the church that I used to go to just to make sure that people see what I can do, again, to be more accepted. The big shows would usually happen during Christmas and Easter Music House. We would show what Christmas is all about, the birth of Jesus, the Easter musical, the death and resurrection of Jesus. But honestly, I didn't even understand what was going on until I studied the cross. And I remember even my mom was like, wow, Nikki, we would go to these Easter musicals, but it's different when you really read it from the Bible. I would perform with my sisters and even my dad, but in my heart, I was so bitter towards God. I was filled with hatred and anger. I moved here from the Philippines in 2003. And coming here, I wasn't so grateful because I had to leave my life behind in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And for many immigrants, you can relate to that because it's like, wow, I have to start over.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in high school, sophomore year, I would eat inside the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't like the movie Mean Girls, because for me, that was a true story.
Wow.
And I would remember that I grew up religious, and I would ask God, God, is this really your plan for me? Is this what America is? Me eating in a bathroom stall? I was so angry. And people would make fun of me because I was the new girl. And I remember coming to college, and I was like, I became really prideful. I'm gonna change my life. That's what I said. But not according to God, but who I am. So to cover up my insecurity, I would start new groups, organizations on campus to meet new people. The people that I didn't have before, now I can have them. And I could rule over them. It was so prideful. And even, you know, as a 19-year-old, which was like 2 years ago, the covering up cycle continued because I didn't start dating till I was 19 in the world. And even with that, I was very prideful. You know, like, oh, women would start dating this at this age, but me, I would have a high standard for my dating life. But it doesn't matter because it was still worldly.
Yeah.
And so when me and my boyfriend broke up, I was just left for dead. I remember I was so depressed. And even when Brittany started studying the Bible with me, I could not stop talking about my ex-boyfriend. And that totally showed my heart, you know, where it was. And so the cover-up continued. Instead of reading the Bible, I read Christian dating books. Familiar with I Kiss Dating Goodbye, Boy Meets Girl, A Man Worth Waiting For, meaning the Boaz and not a bozo. Lady in Waiting. I remember I would read all these books and invest in them. And even for my first Bible talk meeting, that was like a book that I was carrying. Because I was so hungry to find the godly man, you know, that that God wanted for me. But the issue was, I wasn't even looking for a relationship with God. You know, I was lusting for something that would feed me emotionally. And now these Christian dating books are awesome. However, it doesn't coincide with the Bible, then it's useless.
Right.
So I started studying the Bible. I remember I believe it was August 16th. I read it in my journal, and I started studying the Bible for 2 weeks, and then I think September 21st, or 3 weeks, I got baptized.
Wow.
And so before that, I got severely persecuted by my family. I remember my dad was really angry, and he said, "You've been a Christian for a long time, for 19 years, why are you saying that you're not following Jesus?" But in my heart, I knew. Because I even told him, "I'm so bitter. I'm so bitter at you. I'm so bitter with what happened to our lives, Dad. How can I love God and have bitterness towards you so much?" And so, for me, my love story, it wasn't more of, oh, like an emotional feeling. God brought me to many trials, you know. God brought me to... He took me to so many places. I think I've been in 5 high schools throughout my high school life.
Wow.
And that was just, you know, severe. It could be tragic for me. But I remember the first study was seeking God. And the verse that it says, "Seek God with all of my heart." And I was like, I want to do that. Not because I wanted a boyfriend, or because I wanted to run away from home, or I just want to be accepted by people. You know, it's because I want to be set free by the truth.
Yeah.
And the song that I was listening to the other day was called Hosea's Wife. And I was thinking, it goes, how many women today are just speaking silence with the speaker next to them? Do you have a heart with hesitant, halting speech? Are you afraid to ask yourself, what do I live for? And I encourage women to ask themselves, because I had to ask myself that, and I still ask myself every day, what am I living for? Because God wants to keep it, to keep everything real.
Amen. Wow, what inspiring testimonies that we got to hear from these women. I appreciate so much your guys' vulnerability with us. And for everybody's knowledge, Nikki's family is now, they're all Christians.
Yeah.
And so, although they were once persecuting her and giving her a really hard time about her convictions, they too converted and became disciples of Jesus. So, it's really inspiring to see their examples and how they're leading their families and their friends also to be disciples. So now I'm going to have Ruth come up. She goes to Loyola, and she's studying education, right?
Yes.
Yes. Education, and she's from our Haitian community.